folks get back into the room in Nairobi. Security is a little bit slow there.
All right.
I think we're ready here in Nairobi.
Yeah.
Okay, you are ready, Tim?
Yeah, we can start this up, I think, if everyone in the room is ready. You can kick it off, Mason.
Okay. All right, well, good morning, good evening, good whatever time it is where you are. Mason Cole here in the meeting site in Reston, Virginia. Want to go ahead and get started. So the first order of business, I think everybody can see on Adobe Connect, there is a picture of an adorable baby, and that is the new daughter of our friend and colleague, Adrian Kinderis. That's Lila Ann Kinderis, and she was born in Melbourne on Tuesday the 9th. And according to Adrian, she weighs 8 pounds and has massive feet. So congratulations to our friend Adrian. We also want to congratulate Matt Mansell, who I understand had a baby last week and still managed to get to Nairobi. I presume that means he just needed to get away so he could get some sleep.
Hey, Mason.
Yeah.
For those of you who aren't speaking on the conference call, please have the courtesy to mute your line to eliminate the echo.
Right. Yeah, so thank you, Jonathan. I wanted to go through a couple of procedures today. So here's what we're going to do. If you are participating remotely, please sign on to Adobe Connect. There's a link on the registrar stakeholder group meeting site on the remote participation schedule section in ICANN's website. If you can't find it, just email Matt, and he can send you the link. I want to use the queue. I want to use Adobe Connect to manage the queue as much as we can. If you're in the room in Nairobi, Jeff Eckhouse is going to just raise your hand if you want to talk on any issue, and Jeff will. Yeah, hi Jeff, we see you. Jeff will take your name down in the queue and transfer that to me, and hopefully that whole process will work. If you're in the room here in Reston, just raise your hand and I'll put you in the queue. All right. Okay, this will be interesting. All right, so I think everybody should have a copy of the agenda. If you don't, just send me an email and I'll send a copy to you. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and get started with the stakeholder group update, and we'll kick off with Jeff and the treasurer's report. Jeff, over to you.
Sorry, give me one sec. We're just going to see if we can get the piece up here. Do you want to do, Mason, I'm sorry, I know, do we want to do a roll call before we start
up? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we should. Why don't you guys start there? Let's do a quick roll call and identification. So name and registrar affiliation, please.
All right, we'll start up over here. And he just walked in the room. So, Alex, if you don't mind, I know you're all just walked in. Do you want to start off just with a roll call and we'll go around just, as we said, your name and your registrar?
Alex Sifrin, Key Systems.
Bob Hutchison, Dynamic Ventures.
Fritz Diekmann, Internet Wire Communications.
Alexander Schwertner, EPAC Domain Services.
Frederic Guimau, Mail Club.
Ernesto Grimaldo, Nick Mexico.
Matt Mansell, Domain Monster.
Pete Osmond, Domain Monster.
John Berryhill, iRegistry.
Jeff Eckhouse, Enom.
Tim Cole, ICANN.
Rika Konings, ICANN.
Krista Papik, Iron Mountain.
John Nevitt, Registrar Advisor.
Mathieu Dierstein, Nembe.
Okay, Mason, that is it for the room for now. So if you want to start, I don't know if you want to try and do a remote roll call, if that's possible. If you want to read
the let's start
list,
with anybody else on the phone that's not in the room in Nairobi or in Reston. So anyone else on the phone?
Todd Barrett, America.
Thank you, Tom.
Bob Conley, Domains Only.
Morning, Bob.
Clark Walton, Advocate RSG.
Okay, Clark.
Jean-Christophe Vigne, you're already in it.
Thank you, JC. And Tony, you're on the phone? There you go. Morning, Tony. Tony's standing in for Adrian this morning.
Thanks, Mike.
Right. All right, then. Now let's start in the room here with Susan.
Susan Prosser, Name Intelligence.
Jeff.
Jonathan Frakes, Top Level Domain Holding.
Ken Hansen, New Star.
Matt Sterling, Mark Monitor.
Staten Hammock Network Solutions.
Brendan Flanagan, Key Systems.
Old AS Network Solutions.
James Ladle, GoDaddy.
Todd Green, Oversea.net.
Mason Cole with Oversea.
Tim Ruiz with GoDaddy.
Bob Mountain, Afternic.
I voice declare on you, Jeff.
Okay, thanks, everybody. All right. Jeff, are you ready?
Well, is that it for people remote?
Maybe on Adobe.
That
is
yeah, it. On the Adobe, I think there's a few people as well.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
McKaylee's on but hasn't been able to dial in yet.
Tim just had a suggestion. If you're on the Adobe Connect, if you can't get through, maybe you want to just on the chat, you could just say who you are because we're all able to see that, and it's up on the big screen here in the room.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, we see McKaylee. All right, Jeff, let's go ahead and get started.
Okay, I think Rick, if you want to put on the next one, probably it has the next page. Sure, we have the agenda on there. Great. So, Mr. Van Gelder is walking into the room right now, so I think we can begin. So,
thank you for joining us there, Stefan.
Well, he's still talking. He didn't make it fully in. He's wheeling his computer in now.
Okay. He's got his Stefan Wonder glasses on, too.
Yes. You can see him on the screen, yes. All right, so I guess I will kick it off here with the Treasurer's Report. And as of the end of this week, we had 67 paid members for the Registrar's Stakeholder Group, which is just about where we had projected for the budget, maybe a few under. I'll tell you how that compares. In the previous year, we had 72 registrars signed up, and the year before that, we were at 91. We think that the main reason for that is a few people decided not to renew. Some were consolidated, and some lost their credentials and just decided not to join. So we're still at where we were budgeted, and hopefully for next year, what I'd like to do is we can get all our elections, everything started earlier, and then hopefully if I'm elected, then we'll start the outreach a little bit earlier and try and get our numbers back up to about 75 to 80, which would keep us where we'd like to be for budgeting purposes and finances. I think that's it for my really on the report. Are there? I guess I would open it up for questions then.
All right. Anyone questions for Jeff? All right, Jeff, painless way to open the meeting. Thanks. All right, so let me, before we get started on the rest of the agenda, let me actually just make a couple of notes about the agenda. We're going to have a discussion among ourselves here for the next hour or so about issues in front of the stakeholder group. We'll take a break at 11:15 Nairobi time for about 15 minutes. Then at 11:30 Nairobi time, we will from ICANN staff. And then, if you're participating remotely, if you would just keep your phone muted until you're ready to talk, please. Thank you. And then at 1:30 local time in Nairobi, we'll break for half an hour for lunch. And then we're scheduled to have a registry joint meeting at 5 o'clock local time, and then as I understand it, everybody has to be out of the conference center by 6. So we will conclude no later than 6 o'clock Kenya time today. All right, so with regard to our policy discussion, I'm going to ask Jeff to lead that one off with a discussion on the vertical integration effort right now. Jeff, over to you.
Okay, thanks. So as many of you know, the GNSO has decided that there will be they voted for a PDP on the issue of vertical integration, and I was, myself and JC were members of the drafting team, and Stefan here was the chair of that drafting team. Right now, where it stands, we have completed our initial draft. It was hard-fought on a lot of areas. I believe we may have some other friendly amendments coming up. And I think the next step, I'll hand it over to Stefan on the GNSO policy, but as registrars, I believe I'd sent it around, if not I can do that today, of what the draft will be and where we stand. And as we know, this is not the working group and this is not the result, but this is what we're doing, is drafting what the charter is to give an indication for the team going forward on some direction and what they need to try and accomplish. And I'll hand it over to Stefan here.
Thanks, Jeff. Hi, everyone. Sorry for being a little late. On the specifics of that VI drafting team, Jeff has explained it very well. We are now considering, we being the GNSO Council, considering a charter that has been put forward by the team with some amendments from Tim. There's two amendments from Tim and one from Caroline Greer. So the amendments are coming from the contracted party's house, Caroline being a registry representative. And those amendments are just tweaks to the charter. We will, if the council approves the charter here at its meeting tomorrow, which it's that is on the agenda for consideration, then we will move into the actual work phase. A working group will be brought together by the council, and I think it's extremely important for our stakeholder group and the members of our stakeholder group to follow the work that's going to be going on in this working group. As you know, we were opposed to the initial motion which requested that a PDP be initiated. I think it's something that we've really got to keep our eyes on and follow closely. And it's worth noting that the working group itself will be open to anyone from the stakeholder group who wants to join. So while I don't recommend that we join en masse, I think those of us that you know are interested in joining, please just send me an email or let me know so that I can put that forward to the council and take it from there.
Okay, Stefan, thanks very much. Any questions now for Jeff or Stefan on this issue? Okay, I understand there's some more people who've come into the room, so let's give them a chance to get settled for a minute. But in the meantime, we can take some questions. By the way, if you're on Adobe Connect and you want to raise your hand, there's a button on the lower left portion of your screen which you can use to raise your hand, and then after you're finished, you'll need to lower your hand. All right, I don't see any questions. Jeff, do you have any questions? And I'm not sure if that was a question or not.
No, that was not a question from the room. I think that was just some feedback on the mic.
All right, if there are no questions on that issue, then let's go to James Bladell for registration abuse policy.
You're up there. Put the slides up.
Yeah, can we get the slides put up there, Matt?
Mr. Eckhouse.
Give us one second.
I'll just jump in. Good morning. Good afternoon. This is James with GoDaddy, and running through some of the different working groups that are currently active. I'll start off with, you want to start off with registration abuse?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So this is slide 5. Registration abuse group is a pre-PDP. It was chartered to define and catalog all the different abuse types and make some recommendations for ICANN, which could include future PDPs, calls for best practices, and possibly further activities for compliance. It just published the initial report, and that report is currently open for comment, I believe, through March 28th. So if you have a chance to take a look at that before the comment period closes, that'd be great. Also, I believe Clark is going to be submitting a draft around here at some point in the future. There were numerous topics that were addressed that had unanimous or near-unanimous support, but there were a couple of areas where the working group was pretty sharply divided. and those were how to address problems of cyber squatting and whether the registration provisions of a registration agreement should have uniform abuse provisions. So those areas were key divisions. So our next steps will be, once the comment period is closed, we'll collect and analyze those comments and stakeholder group positions and begin to draft a final report with the finalized recommendations. So any questions on registration abuse?
James, if you don't mind, it's Jeff here. Can you hold on 1 second? We're just getting all the Adobe slides up, so if you can hold on this way, we can follow along. It'll just give us 10 seconds here.
No problem.
Matt, if you hear me, can you resend that to Marika, all of those? Because I don't think we had received those.
Yeah, we got it, Jeff.
Should be up on the screen now for everyone. I think we can start it off.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. All right, James, back to you.
Okay, next on the agenda was...
Can you go back through your slides just briefly and just recap? Recap that for
sequentially or by your agenda?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. This first bullet point is the, or this first slide just is a laundry list of the active working groups. So we can go to the next one. This is the next one is the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy, IRTP. It's the second group, Part B. This is chaired by McKaylee, so I'll run through these bullet points, and then if he's on the phone, maybe I can turn it over to McKaylee for a few minutes afterwards so that he can make some comments. The charter for this group is examining a few topics, urgent return or transfer undo, what to do in situations where the admin contact and registrant are in conflict, change of registrant and how that affects or should that affect IRTP, and some of the practices regarding locked status. Where the work currently stands is that the group has analyzed the initial comments that it's received, and is addressing each of the charter questions. There's a sub-team that's been formed by three registrars and one representative from the business constituency to take a look at ideas or recommendations to propose for urgent return. And our next steps would be to start to draft an interim report, measure consensus for various recommendations, and then put that out for comment as well. So is McKelly on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you want to speak to this group? It's your team there.
Well, thanks. James has covered pretty much everything that we've done so far. So, I mean, if anybody has any specific questions, fire ahead. I mean, if not, I think James did a wonderful job.
All right, so we'll take a cue on this if anybody has questions for James or McKaylee. Anybody? Okay, James?
Okay, we could go to the next slide. I believe covers the post-expiry domain name recovery. This is kind of a contentious group, and it's been a source of some very, spirited conversations and debate, participation by numerous registrars here in Reston and some of the folks there in Nairobi as well, and some folks in Ireland on the phone. The charter topics are listed there. You know, it's essentially a discussion of whether or not registrants have a sufficient opportunity to recover names once they've expired, what different registrars offer in terms of provisions in their registration agreement for post-expiration, whether or not registrants are receiving adequate notification of domains for up for renewal, what happens to the whois, especially with a name that is in the auto-renew grace period, and whether or not it would be a good idea to support transfers in when a name is in redemption grace period. This group put out an initial call for stakeholder group statements and public comments. Those were discussed in depth, and recently closed a survey as a measurement of consensus on various topics, which have not yet currently been released. I think that Marika can correct me, but I think they're coming out after Nairobi. Next step, you know, according to the PVP recipe, would be to start to draft an interim report and put that out for comment. But I think that this one could go in a lot of different directions. I think that there are some folks that are trying to bring this in for a soft landing, so to speak, and figure out whether or not it should continue in its current form, be reset, maybe have its charter modified, or dissolved altogether. We're really just waiting to see what the results of the surveys look like before before making a call on that. So any of the other folks on post-expiry want to dive into that quicksand or offer anything up?
I know Tim Ruiz is here in the room. Has been on that call. McKaylee has as well. Either of you want to chime in? McKaylee, you're first.
Yeah, I mean, James has been far more diplomatic about his description of it than I would be. I mean, whereas in other working groups there is a move towards reaching some level of consensus, this working group just seems to be going round in circles. So, I mean, hopefully we'll be able to move it towards something a bit more meaningful when that questionnaire-type thing has been dealt with.
Okay, thanks, McKaylee. Jeff?
So just to add some fuel to this fire, I was in the GNSO working sessions on, I think it was Saturday. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Tim. On Saturday, and Alan gave his presentation, and he said one of the reasons, the main reason this was not going anywhere was there were too many registrars on this working group that were screwing it up. So that's why we haven't been moving forward on it. And if there was balance, then he said that we would have something. But he did say they are going to go with the survey, come back, and then he said he may think about disbanding it or ending it because we can't move ahead on this. So that was the report to the GNSO. I think the room was kind of empty when he stated it. I don't know how many people had heard it, but that was his reasoning. So I think he's come to that realization that it's sort of would like to come to a soft landing or to an end, but I can't say that for sure at the moment.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Tim, did you want to add anything?
No, I don't think too much. I think it's pretty well been summed up. As far as the composition of the group is concerned, you know, it's open to anyone. It's been announced several times. You know, so if there's a lack of interest on the part of others in the community, I think that might speak, you know, to some extent to the ability of the group to come up with something. So I'm not too concerned that registrars are trying to run the show there. I just think that reflects a lack of interest, you know, by other stakeholder groups to really get involved. And as a result, you know, it's not going to go too far.
It's Jeff again. I just want to jump in that, Tim, I completely agree with you, and I sort of socialized that message, stating that when there were other working groups, such as vertical integration, you know, even just this drafting team or other working groups, that people were, you know, knocking each other over to get onto these groups because they felt that it was very important and a major issue. And it seems that just because the that so many people don't see this as a major issue, they have not joined and spent time on it. And I've been trying to socialize that message, and I think that's really the truth.
Okay, good. Other questions for this working group? Anyone? I'm sorry, Michaela.
I mean, just going back to the entire thing about whether this working group should or shouldn't exist, and whether there's anything that can come out of it. I mean, we have had a lot of very detailed, lengthy conversations. Whether the chair of the group wishes to respect that or not is another thing. But, I mean, I think there are things that we can do there that will help to satisfy some people. But the key thing is that, as far as I'm concerned, I think quite a few others might agree with me, the post-expiry isn't the issue. It's just dealing with a pre-expiry. And if we can move something out of that in that direction, then maybe that will satisfy people. I don't know.
You're right. I've been on some of these calls myself, and the purported reason for the work group is to prevent unwanted or unintentional loss of the name. And I think there's a fair amount of consensus among participating registrars on that group that there are things that can be done before a name even expires rather than try to recover names after they expire. So, hopefully we can move the effort toward something like prevention of an unintended loss rather than recovery of unintended loss well after the fact. I mean, would you guys on the work group agree with that? Jeff, Tim, Michaela?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyone else in the queue? Okay, thanks very much. James?
I think there's one more slide. Oh, we covered this. It's a little out of sequence, sorry.
Registration abuse.
Yeah.
Okay. So we covered this a little bit ago before we got the slides up.
We can go back one, Jeff, and just give an opportunity to take a cue if anyone has any questions on these materials, how they can process them with their eyes.
Just as a process note as well, we're going to have staff come in and cover from their side pretty much everything that we're discussing right now. So if there are issues that we know we'd like to bring up proactively with staff, now's the time to do that so that they're ready for that discussion when they arrive. Michaela, is your hand still up or no, it's not. Okay.
Well, it is actually, yeah. Sorry.
It is now. You're up.
How does this work?
Yeah, sorry. Just very briefly, I mean, it's just one thing that some people who are within the group, within the registrar's group, I mean, it would be helpful if more people who haven't kind of got involved with some of these working groups were to get involved, because it's one of the complaints that people seem to have is that it's always the same people who get involved, and I mean, I think it's very worthwhile for other people to get involved and just, you know, dial in, listen to some of the things that are going on, and make their voices heard.
Okay, well said, thank you. Jeff?
Yeah, I'm raising my hand for John Berryhill. For those of you who don't know, he's now a blonde, so he's not able to raise his hand in the chat room, so I'm doing this for him. Go ahead, John.
John, you're up.
Thank you, Jeff. It's the RC that turned my hair white. I'm looking at this. Two areas, cyber squatting, uniformity of contracts show at least two positions. It was my understanding that this group was focused on the registry level abuse policies, sort of along the lines of Afilius, the ones that Afilius implemented in .info for things that are particularly corrosive activities and less subject to subjective determinations. How did cyber squatting sneak into this one, and what are the two positions?
Yeah, thanks, John. I'll field that one. I just real quickly, I'll put my hand down. I wanted to respond to McKelly and say, yes, I definitely would second his call for additional volunteers, particularly in this group, where definitely feel that I'm holding back the tide a little bit. So, John, you know, a variety of topics snuck in to this group or came out during the phase where we were cataloging the various abuse types. There is a line in the charter that specifically mentions, you know, contract uniformity. You know, as far as cyber squatting, I think that was something that was initially directed at registries, but really the distinction between the two types of contracted parties was, you know, dismissed at the outset, and it's really just addressing both registry and registrar agreements or activities as with respect to abuse. So, so they're not off the hook, but neither are we. As far as the two positions, for example, on cyber squatting, I'm doing this from memory a bit. The report is out, but essentially one area of agreement is that the UDRP should be examined to see if it's an effective tool to counter cyber squatting when it's discovered. Another view, which I think was supported by the BC and one registrar, would be that that we start to look at ways to apply new rights protection mechanisms into existing GTLDs, as well as calling for a full PDP on the issue. So I think that's where we start to see the consensus breakdown.
John, does that help you?
Yeah, that's helpful. I had no idea that this group was running off into revised. Yeah, all right, everybody.
Wow, look at your hair.
Was running off into, you know, putting the new RPMs into existing TLDs or revising the UDRP. That's surprising because it wasn't my understanding of what this group was doing.
It's mushroomed into a couple of different areas, John. But the report is out for comment, and I think your view in particular on the UDRP issue and the uniformity contact issue would be appreciated.
Okay, John, thanks. Anyone else in the queue? I don't see anybody. Okay, James?
We can go to I think it's the last slide.
Yes, it's up.
Okay, so this is the PDP reform group, which is part of the PPSC GNSO improvement effort. This group had a mountain of work in front of it, and I think that we're moving on fairly well. It's chaired by Jeff Newman, and myself and Paul Diaz, I think, are the registrar reps on that particular group. The work was divided into five basic stages. We're currently finalizing the last of those. Shortly after this meeting in Nairobi, we will be publishing the interim report for comments along with recommendations, and those will be finalized and submitted to the overall PPSC. The other component to this PPSC working group work team, which is another mouthful, but that has already, just prior to Nairobi, released its report. So we're a little behind our sister effort there, but I think we'll catch up very shortly before the end of March.
Can you just talk a bit about the context for this work group, why the PDP process is being examined and potentially reformed?
That's a good question, Mason. I think it's, going back up to the tree, there's the overall GNSO reform, which is broken into the PPSC and the OSC.
Mm-hmm.
The PPSC has two child processes under that. The working group and how working groups conduct themselves, and then an overall review of the PDP process as it's defined in the bylaws. I think that the new GNSO structure calls for a periodic review of those to make sure that they're still functioning and still relevant. So this effort, I think, will be a probably not an annual effort, but an ad hoc every two-year type of a work group. And then the OSC stuff, I think we covered pretty thoroughly on Sunday. But I'm not real – I don't have a lot of visibility into what they're doing.
Okay. Okay, questions? Tim?
Yeah. I'll just add that it all actually goes back even a little further to the Board Governance Committee's report on the reforms that it thought was necessary within the GNSO and the review of the GNSO that it did. So a lot of this all stems from that original Board Governance Committee's report on the GNSO reform.
Okay. All right, questions for James? I don't see anyone in the queue.
I do have one question. Is anyone involved from this stakeholder group on the other side of that, the PPSC working group work team?
Anyone in the room in Nairobi?
We could hardly hear that. Could you repeat the question, please?
Sorry. Any registrars involved in the PPSC working group work team, which is kind of the twin of this work team?
I thought there were.
Gray, are you involved in that? We're waking you up. Sorry.
Sorry about that. Yes, I was involved in it, and I think that although my active participation has ebbed in the last few months, so I'm not sure. From my recollection, we've reached. I believe we're kind of at the end of that process, and although Marika probably, well. Marika, do you know? Yeah, we're at the end of the process, and we've. Huh?
Actually, it's not at the end yet. It's open for public comment.
Yeah.
The GNSO working group guidelines have been published for public comment, I think, until 22nd of March. So if you have comments, please submit them. Following that, the working group will review the comments received and update the document accordingly before submitting it to the PPSC for their review.
Yeah. So the end of the beginning.
Okay, thanks, Gray. Anybody else in the room? Marika, do you have anything to add from a staff perspective on this?
On the PDP work team?
Yeah, well, actually, maybe we're talking about that in your section in an hour, so.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, was there anything else to add on that?
No.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, any other questions for James? All right, James, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, folks, moving down the agenda, I'd like to ask, we're going to have a discussion here about the ongoing effort to amend the RAA. I'm going to ask Tim Maurice to lead off because he's been active on registrar's behalf on that team, and then ask John Nevedet his comments as well. So, Tim?
Yeah, I'm not sure I would exactly describe it as being active in the effort. Well, let me explain what the RAA work group came about because of the previous amendments that had been agreed to and getting those approved at the council level, which has been done and new agreements actually in place with the majority of registrars at this point. But to get there, we had to, we agreed to form a working group that would look at additional amendments that the community would like to see to the RAA and to compile a list of those amendments
And so this working group was formed, and it had basically three chores. One is to compile that list of amendments that the community would like to see. Two, to kind of go through that list then and look at, you know, what things are actually compliant or consensus policy issues that should be dealt with through the policy development process. Those, the intent would be that those would be weeded out so that we get down to a list of just the things that needed to be changed through amendment themselves. And the group is also then prioritizing that list as to what's most important, what the consensus on what's most important to that which has low importance. So that part of the work is pretty much complete. I think there might be one more round of discussion about that document and finalizing that. That's pretty close. And so the third step then would be for the group to suggest next steps. Where do things go from here? And of course, we'll be keenly interested in that and how things will proceed, given that we don't intend to negotiate these things with the community itself, but between the two parties to the agreement. So that's kind of where we're at with that. What I've done and what I think the executive committee has encouraged is that we did not get too involved in debating these issues within the working group, because that wasn't the purpose of the working group. It wouldn't really serve any purpose, and we didn't intend to negotiate these things with the community. So it was pretty much just compiling of the list. But several registrars were involved, and there had been several discussions about some of these different items on the list. So that's kind of an update on the group. John, if you had more to add.
Actually, before we do that, John,
okay.
Tim, do you have any information on timelines and next steps, expectations, those things?
I think that there might be one more meeting that might involve finalizing the list, and then, you know, I just project maybe a couple of meetings discussing next steps. So they're getting pretty close.
Okay, and I know this is a two-part effort, right? That came out of the GNSO when we first agreed to the new terms. So
right.
So there's sub-team B, and by the way, Steve Metalis is going to join us later to discuss this issue. But there's sub-team A as well, which is the registrant rights and responsibilities document. Can you give us an update on that?
Right, and I think they last met on the 11th of February. I'm not sure if they've met since then or not, but I think at that point they were very close to a final document based on work that the staff had done in putting together registrants' rights and responsibilities based on what was evidently RAA. So I think that document's pretty close, but I know that group has also been active in discussing, you know, other things that they would like to see change or added to the list of amendments that work team B has been working on. So I think as far as the work on the actual charter goes, I think that group is actually getting pretty close too.
Okay. Okay. Before we go to John, any particular questions for Tim? I don't see anyone in the queue. Jeff, anybody have their hands raised there?
No hands raised in the room.
Okay. John, can you contribute your point of view on this as well, please?
Sure. Thanks, Mason. The only thing I would add to Tim's thorough discussion on working group B, which is dealing with the new changes, is that the chart is posted on the group's website, which is public, and maybe we could circulate that to the stakeholder group so people could see what changes are being contemplated by various parties. And the goal, according to Steve Metalitz, and I'm sure he'll mention it when he's here, is that it would be the report would be submitted to the council for review by the April 21st meeting of the council. So a little more than, what I guess that's about 6 weeks. And then one development here in Nairobi over the weekend, at the GAC meeting on Sunday, one of the groups that are proposing changes is a consortium of law enforcement around the world, but spearheaded by the UK folks and the US folks. and they've asked the GAC to endorse a set of proposals that they're making on behalf of law enforcement to this group. And when we heard that, we quickly tried to reach out to as many GAC reps as possible and say that it's essentially premature to endorse a set of proposals before they're actually vetted by the community, and that they should maybe tone down that language if they're going to add that to their communique. So if anyone, especially here in Nairobi, has a relationship with their GAC reps, especially from the UK, looking at Matt, that would be great if you could just pass that message along, saying, you know, don't endorse a set of proposals before they're vetted by the community, before, you know, there's a study on the consumer impact of those proposals. One of the proposals is that every registrant needs to be vetted by the registrar before we can sell them a domain name. So, I mean, there's some huge impacts in some of those proposals. Again, as a community, we haven't discussed those proposals. That's the next step in the process that Tim was talking about. But it'd be premature to endorse them by an ICANN committee before they are vetted. Matt.
We've been pretty active on this subject in the UK, actually, and spoke at a conference at Nominate to do with it. So be more than happy to get involved, but I need some introductions to the right person at the GAC if somebody can help me, and then I'll happily talk to them all day long about it.
All right, thanks, Matt. I have a queue with Stefan and Michele. So, Stefan, please.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I just want to add something to what John said, because we were actually made aware the GAC meeting was on Sunday, just before the GNSO was supposed to meet with the GAC, and we were made aware of what was going on by members of the GNSO community. So both John and myself approached different GAC members. The feedback that I got was that the GAC has no clear view of what we're actually doing to try and increase compliance and good behavior, stimulate good behavior amongst registrars, which is something that may be of a worry to us. And so I really echo John's call to have people reach out to their various representatives. I think we've done a lot over the past few years to a lot of work in that area, and we don't want the GAC coming in, you know, like jackbooted thugs, just to beat us on the head with that. So we've got to be careful about that.
Nice work, Stefan. Okay, Michele?
Maybe John could talk to this. Is the document that, coming from law enforcement, the one that they circulated a couple of months ago, or is this a modified version of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. If I could take that, Mason. That's a great question, because we don't see what the GAC received. We only know that the representative from the UK law enforcement said, you know, I've sent this in the past. We don't know if they sent the updated version or not. So we don't even know what the collection of proposals are that the GAC's looking at.
But I mean, John, have you seen the original one, which was went around a couple of months ago?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, one of the guys from law enforcement came on one of the RAA conference calls and went through their proposals, and we managed to kind of flesh out, or at least I thought we'd managed to flesh out and get a bit of a better handle on some of the ideas behind the document that we had in front of us. I mean, particularly some of the stuff to do with the registrant validation. While talking to law enforcement, it wasn't as apparent as it had immediately appeared, but the problem we had was trying to get to grips with where they were coming from in many respects.
Yeah, in the discussion at the GAC, he presented that topic and mentioned due diligence on registrants prior to sale of a domain name.
Okay, Gray.
Yeah, my only comment was kind of in response to Stefan's was that...
Gray, need you to speak right into the microphone, please.
Okay, is that better?
Yes, thanks.
Okay. An ounce of communication might be worth something. I don't know if we can put together like a one-pager or something like that we could all, you know, forward to our GAC representatives or something like that, maybe even try and, crazily as it sounds, do it in different languages, kind of appeal to their better interests, might be worthwhile to demonstrate that we really are doing our own policing of ourselves, and that might go a long way, especially with people that don't have a registrar in their, don't have a relationship with a registrar in their country, to get them to understand that we are really being proactive about this. So I don't know if where we take that suggestion, but
yeah, Graham, I think that's a good idea. You know, I don't know who could help with drafting that, but it would certainly help to have something to, you know, a simple kind of primer or something that we could pass along to GAC members.
If I could weigh in on that, I think it's really Tim and Tim Cole and ICANN and maybe coordinating with compliance staff, because it's, you know, what we did as a community is got together and said, ICANN, you've asked for tools and additional enforcement mechanisms to be able to go after the bad actor registrars, and we gave them to them. We agreed with ICANN and in a new version of the RAA to give them more tools and more mechanisms. So it's now ICANN enforcement that's policing the bad actors. It's not really necessarily the other registrars at this point that we could, help them along on that. And especially with transition. So I guess I would look to ICANN compliance staff to maybe pull together a one-pager and what they've done since the new RAA has been around. And because if you look at there's a link that on the ICANN website that I've seen circulated that shows that there's probably been a dozen registrars that have been deaccredited in the last 6 months, I believe. So, I would ask Tim to coordinate. Are we seeing the compliance staff today at all? If so, we should ask them when they're here.
Yeah, and Pam is actually in the room now, so she's hearing your question,
oh,
but
great.
She does have a time slot at 4.
Perfect.
Thanks.
So one thing as well, I've got James in the queue next, but Stefan and John, I know one thing that we talked about at the XCOM level yesterday was that there's a danger that relative silence from the registrar's part leads others in the community to think that whatever evidence has been presented to them is taken as factual, meaning, you know, if registrar effort isn't seen, then therefore it doesn't exist, when that's not the case.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
So the point being that, yeah, the things that you're describing, the things that Gray suggested, are good ideas, because we have an opportunity to be proactive and show the GAC and others that in fact, there's more going on than they might see.
Yeah, and that would be my additional comment, that I think it's great to do something from ICANN, but if we can talk about ourselves as a community, I think it's actually probably even more powerful if we have ICANN say something and then we follow on maybe with a letter, something like that, which is probably a little bit more easy for us to draft, and talk about how, you know, our efforts and try and engender some goodwill.
Okay, thanks, Gray. That's a good suggestion. I'm making notes on this. In the queue, James, and then Matt.
Yeah, I think actually most of my points were already covered. Just a thought that while we shouldn't be silent necessarily and let that go, let that information go out unchallenged, might also point out that if your goal is not to draw too much attention to this until it's fully baked by the community and has had a chance to go through the proper channels, then putting out something that's overly formal might have the opposite effect. So.
Okay, good point. Great. Did you want to be in the queue, or did you not have your hand down yet?
I just don't have my hand down.
Okay, thanks. Matt.
Just wanted to second John's comment a minute ago, actually, because I think one of the things you guys just said a minute ago, there's a perception that there's silence from the registrar community on this. And that's certainly not been the case in the UK, and it's the UK law enforcement agencies that are actually leading this, but they're just not listening. So I think the important point that John made was that ICANN should probably lead with a response, for want of better words, and then the registrar community can then follow that response. And I think that's the only way the UK law enforcement are going to start to listen. And that's actually been the case with Nominate in the UK as well. So they kind of are jumping through the community and straight to the top of the tree and trying to get attention. And I think that needs to now come back from ICANN and then be followed through from us.
All right. Thanks for that perspective, Matt. It's McKaylee and then Jeff. McKaylee?
I mean, another thing as well is, I mean, looking at some of the proposals that we've seen. Now, obviously, we don't know what they sent to the GAC, but I mean, some of the stuff that they put out before was technically impossible. I mean, it needs to be shown clearly that asking us to log certain data is technically impossible. I mean, it just cannot be done. I mean, they're trying to get a better handle on what they're actually trying to do. I mean, the conversation we had with Bobby on that call was very, very helpful, because it went through some of the points, became clear that, you know, certain things were what they were looking for. Maybe they hadn't expressed it particularly well. But the other thing as well, which has come up in other conversations of the ESSAC, was to do with minimum levels of security at the registrar level. So, I mean, it's something they keep talking about, but nobody's actually decided on anything. And some of that might go away towards resolving this issue.
Okay, McKaylee, thank you. Jeff and then JC. Jeff?
Yeah, thanks. So one point I just want to address what McKaylee said, and I agree with you on that point, but what some of the presentations said were, oh, these are easy technical fixes for the registrars to make this happen. And as we all know, everyone sort of underestimates the work that's involved in operating a registrar, that they think, oh, you can just capture this information and send it to us. It's really easy for them to do that. So I think that part of it is, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm sort of at a loss on who to explain this to, because I know, as you know, as a registrar, we have very good relationships with, the Serious Organized Crimes Agency in the UK. We have a great working relationship with them, and they always thank us for, you know, how well we work with them. But then you come to this meeting, and then the person who's the rep from there sort of slams you for not helping. So I'm sort of, you know, I don't really know how to bridge that gap and who to talk to and what to work. I know we can talk to our GAC reps, but even speaking to law enforcement, I think, I don't know if there's, and maybe we can try a coordinated effort with law enforcement or some sort of summit to try and move this forward, because I think they sort of have the left hand and the right hand don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it sounds like we've got an engagement issue that we need to overcome. All right. Sorry, I lost track of the queue here. We have JC.
Yes, just a small comment saying that we talked about ICANN. I wonder if some outreach shouldn't be done at the CCTLD level. From experience, law enforcement may not even know what a registrar is, and may have better access to registries. So it might be a way, faster access and a better teaching exercise going at CCTLD level as well.
Okay, good suggestion, JC. Stefan?
Yeah, just to come back to Jeff's point, I think it's basically a question of talking to whom you can. You know, we've all got contacts. They may not be GAC representatives. The point that I took away from my conversations with the French GAC representative and others is really that there's lack of awareness of what we're doing. That's the main point. So whatever, you know, talk to your GAC representative. It's really a question of, you know, getting the word out there that we are taking this seriously and we're doing something about it ourselves. So, you know, it could be the GAC, it could be anyone, it could be a hat trick of people. It's just, you know, just get that in there.
Okay, Stefan, thanks very much. All right, it sounds to me like this may turn into a small project that maybe the XCOM could take the lead on in terms of creating a proactive strategy for engaging the GAC and anyone else really who doesn't have enough visibility on what we're doing on enforcement issues or anything else. So I've got that down as an action item. JC, are you still in the queue, or did you just not have your hand down yet?
Oops, sorry.
No problem. Take your hand down, enjoy a Tusker beer, and you'll be fine. Okay, anyone else in this queue? All right. Before we take the break, I wanted to ask Stefan if he would talk a bit about what's going on at the GNSO level. There's an effort at the GNSO level to talk about work prioritization. and I wanted him to take the lead on that, and then maybe Tim can contribute some thoughts too, and then we will break at 15 minutes past the hour. So, Stefan?
Thanks, Mason. Just to make sure people are aware of what's going on, one of the major hurdles that we're facing at GNSO council level that has become apparent over the last few months is just the sheer workload that we're having to labour under. So when Chuck was elected chair in Seoul, he started a prioritisation project, and there's a team that's working on a model, and they're doing extremely well. They've only been at it for 6 months, and we expect that we will get results within a couple of years. So that's really going forward quite well. And, you know, we expect, obviously I'm being sarcastic here, that maybe the English wit may be lost on some people. And if it is, I'll explain it around a tusker tonight. So that is really crucial to the GNSO Council, because we're often finding that we're weighed down by projects that other people will start, and that just delay the crucial work of the Council. So one of those things, for example, would be, in my eyes, the VI thing, which we opposed. And I would add that staff has actually now publicly come out and told the Council that they are overtaxed and cannot take on any more projects. So we've reached a situation whereby both the volunteers and staff are unable to cope with the workload. So to me, that project is one of the most crucial that the Council has before it right now. And I think, you know, it's a pity that the person... I don't want to name names, but the person that's chairing this group is not showing great leadership on this, and we really do need to move forward. So just to make sure that people are aware of that, that is being worked on by the Council, but so far we haven't had great results on this. And, you know, I've been working on the group and looking at that. Adrian's been on there as well, and he's pushing really hard for the group to move forward quickly. So we're keeping the pressure up, but it's not easy.
All right, thank you, Stefan. Tim, did you want to add anything to this from the council level?
No, I think that sums it up pretty well.
Okay, questions from anyone? All right. Stefan, thank you very much. Okay, folks, if there's anything else to cover, now's the time to bring it up. Otherwise, we're going to take a break until the bottom of the hour. All right. I don't see anything, so let's break here and reconvene at 30 minutes past. Thanks very much.